Help us, Lord, to receive your manna today, manna that is fresh, that new bread that's just come out of the oven. Nothing like new fresh bread, Father, to eat. And that's what you give us every time we come in your name. Lord, let us eat of this. And let the freshness of this cause us to look to Jesus this day and walk by faith with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a title here for us to consider. Are you a believer based on your own terms? Are you a believer based on your own terms? At times, we are all deceived in this area. And that is one of the causes for many who either go back in the faith, who don't endure to the end, because they are believers raising their own terms and conditions with God, and how God should be, and how he should act, and so on. That is one of the biggest problems in professing believers and why many turn back. You see it in the Bible. You even see it with Jesus' disciples, even those that turn back. They're offended. The reason they're offended, because it's not conformed to what they think and how they think God should be and how they want to interpret his word and so on. In other words, they have a problem with the sovereignty of God. And probably this is one of the biggest areas at times as believers that we grapple with, is the sovereignty of God. God means what he says. He doesn't change, doesn't alter, and he works with us in which, by his grace and mercy, to conform to his will. His will, of course, is the sovereignty of God. And so, because believers want it on their own terms, this causes depression, despondency, anger, all these things that at times we have all manifested, and even in this church. A lot of your problem, a lot of your anger, depression is you're still having problem with God's sovereignty. But praise God, you haven't got hold of him. He has got hold of you. Hallelujah. And thank God that he has, as we don't stand a chance. But we're going to talk about these things this morning. Turn me, if you will, to a little scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 45. Jeremiah chapter 45. And I want to just look at verse 5. Here's Jeremiah's ministry prophesying. And here he gives assurance to Buck. And here in verse 5, which probably you've bypassed and looked over many times, he says, "And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go." So he raises this question, "And do you seek great things for yourself?" That's the question. Are you a believer based on your own terms? That's what we're going to look at today. Are you seeking great things for yourself or to get closer to God? And that is the challenge. And when we start to realize that God has ultimately saved us through covenant for a walk with Him, a walk of relationship, when we start to see this and we allow God to start to work this, this is when we start to mature and grow into sons. Babes, children, are still those that are seeking things for themselves. What I want. And that is why they don't grow, they don't change, and that is why if God were to leave us in that state, we would all go back. Why? Because we'll find we're very despondent and very disappointed in this walk with God. And all the while, we're still grappling with despondency, and we're still asking why, and so on. We still have not yet grown up. We still have this mentality, this mindset that we're seeking God to get things for ourselves. And this is, of course, what he raises here. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. That's what he says. Don't seek them. It's a wrong attitude. It's a wrong motive, and it will end in disaster. That's really what he's saying. You see, most of the things that we ask are often in a sense incidental. They come and they go. That's the problem. So much of what we want is just momentary. It makes us excited for a season, gives us all the emotions or all the goosey bumps that we like, but it's incidental. It just will pass. It becomes eventually just like a mirage. And that is why God doesn't always give us what we ask, because we're asking amiss. We really do need to understand how to ask from God, that God will give, and that we have that assurance that knowing when we've asked of God, that we know that we have it in Jesus' name. Mark 11:24. Most of us, if not all of us, have at times been disappointed with the verse of Mark 11:24. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. God doesn't make a mistake. So there's something that we have to learn. We have to find out. We have to inquire of God. But most of the things at times we ask, they simply come and go. Often we seek Him for what we can get out of Him. I know we've touched that one many times. But we still come with that attitude of simply seeking Him for what I can get from Him. And it's a lot more than just that. If we just stop to think I have had the greatest thing from God, and that is salvation. What greater thing could you ever ask from God? And that is, I'm a child of the living God. I have been redeemed. He has dealt with sin in my life. And we need to come back to these basics at times. Never lose sight of them. No matter how far we progress, we grow in the Spirit. That the greatest thing that I have ever asked, I've ever had from God, is the greatest gift that he's ever given. And that is his Son. So we need to come back to these things that focus us. You see, if you only ask for things you've never really understood, then you're never going to really get them, because we have to ask God because we're understanding what we're asking about and for. A lot of the times we ask of God and we don't really have a clue. We don't have a clue sometimes of its consequences. Or if God were to give it, what it could do, not only to me, but to others as well. So God is trying to teach us in our asking, that in that asking we are understanding the things by the Spirit. It's revelation. So our asking comes by revelation, not by the flesh, not by the intellect, not by a good idea or what I feel or being led by emotions. How much of what we've asked of God has come simply out of emotions? And we all know about emotions, how they change and so on. So there's quite a lot to consider with regard to this. But you are never, ever going to really begin to start to understand asking from God until you have understood what it is to totally surrender to God. That is the cross. Because surrender, the cross, gives us that true understanding and revelation of our Father's heart. And then we start to begin to understand about receiving, believing. If you want to claim it by faith, yes, it's all there. But it comes as a result of surrender, a yielding over. But we're so often a Christian that's based on our own terms. And that is why God has to work with us to humble us. A lot of this humbling that's been going on in this assembly is not only that we might grow closer to God and get the enemy off our back, but this humbling is that you might have the mind of Christ in the things that you ask for. That's a lot of it. But we fail to see that at times, because we're so sort of just consumed at times, or feel disappointed because it didn't happen. If it didn't happen, find out. Ask. Jesus said, come, ask. He will speak, he will show. You may not get the answer immediately, but you'll get it in time. Or he'll work it in some way. You think, yes, I now see. I now see. Well, God has only dealt with me on this just recently, on something that I'm asking for and praying God's blessing and so forth. And I've now seen that it was of the wrong motive. I was at the wrong angle. And so I don't need to say any more now. I see it now. I have repented. It's before God. I don't need to ask him anymore, because he's shown me the bigger picture. And he will do that if we ask for the right things. And it's like all the lights come on. Praise God, I see now. I see. We know very well in Matthew 7, verse 7, we probably all got this underlined, and we need to read it in the context of what we're talking about. In Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And he goes on, for everyone who asks and receives, and he who seeks finds, And to him who knocks, it will be open. So there's quite a lot going on here. So in our walk as disciples with Christ, and in our prayer time, and yes, there are things that we do need to ask. We need to seek God. We're seeking God. Yes, we still believe in the greater works that are coming. Jesus many times asked of the Father that that person will be healed or whatever it would be. But it's all in the context of seeking, knocking, finding. It will be open. So it's that consecration. It's that waiting before God as God will speak. Or we've been seeking God, or I've been pressing in, or I'm waiting on God for an answer and so forth. It's all part of the process of what he speaks about here in verse 7, you see. That's what he's doing with us. But it's just an asking, isn't it, of needs in that sense. And don't be concerned about asking for the wrong things. If you are walking with God, you are surrendering to his will, obeying him, then you don't need to be worried about asking for the wrong things, because everything within you knows you're going to be asking for the right things. Because it's a revelation. It's a relationship. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know exactly what you're asking for the right thing. Jesus never questioned it when he asked of the Father. He knew it was the Father's will to heal. He knew it was the Father's will to cast out demons. He knew it was the Father's will to raise the dead and everything. But it came out of relationship. It came out of revelation. It came out of knowing the fact what the Father was saying. And that is the work God's doing with you and I. That's what he's bringing us ultimately to. And he'll do it. The whole point of all of this is when you draw closer to him, you will cease asking out of your own desires, your wants and everything. You won't have to keep seeking him and keep asking him, because you will know what his will is. Asking is much more for infants when we're just born again and so forth, and that's the mercy and love of God. We all know that when we first got saved, it seemed quite simple, didn't it? And after a year or two, suddenly it starts all to change. Why isn't it, you know, my prayers don't seem to get answered like they used to? Do you know what? I can't be the only one, surely. Why? Because God now is teaching us something. You can't survive on that. That's not going to glorify me. As young as we are in the faith. So why are we going to cease asking? Well, we're told, aren't we, in Matthew 6, verse 8, why we cease asking. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And then he goes on to teach them about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. He's teaching here about the model of praying. He's going to work with us as we yield over and we allow the cross to do its work, where you will come to that place that we know. He says, even before you even ask, I know. He says, I know. You have no need of asking him, because he knows. He's in you. He's clothing you. He's feeding you. He's blessing you. He doesn't want you concerned, anxious about all of those things. It's a far higher principle. Ultimately, in many ways, as we grow up in this, this is getting us away from self, where most of our praying is all consumed with regard to self involved. And all the while self is there, you can't be praying about the things that pertain to the kingdom. It's what he's doing with you and I. Are you finding you're praying less and less for yourself as you're getting older? Yes, some heads nodding. Of course you are. Why? Because that's what he's doing. Why pray for those things that I already know? And I'm going to do and bless you with. Why even concern yourself with it? We just let the enemy be vocal, don't we, and listen to his growlings. But we're learning. We're closing the doors. We're coming to a place, that's enough. No more. I'm sick of it. We're seeing a deeper principle involved. But one could raise the question, well, why then ask? Very good question. Well, how about this? The ultimate of asking God is simply to get to know him. That's what it's about. Ask the right things. Lord, I ask today, I want to know more of you. I want to know your wonder, your greatness. I want to see more of the kingdom. I want to see more of you. I just want to be lost in you and everything. That's good asking, isn't it? I bet you're not doubting there at that point when you're asking that, are you? You know, a lot of unbelief that we battle is because we're asking the wrong things. And yet we have pounded ourselves. Oh, you're in unbelief. You're not believing. You're not standing on standing ground. Well, you're not doubting when you ask to see more of God, are you? Who's doubting when you say, Lord, I want to grow closer to you. But I don't know whether I'm believing in faith for this or not. I don't know whether it'll happen or not. You don't do that. Why? Because the faith is there. That's the will of God. Isn't it? This is so simple, brothers and sisters. We've made this so difficult. And you know the enemy has come in and pounded us. You're in unbelief. You're not standing. You're not standing on the promises of God and so forth. Well, the enemy's a liar. We've probably been standing more on all of this than we actually realise. So let's give God all the praise and the glory. You see, God isn't always at present concerned about making you happy, but he continues to make you more like him. You see, we want prayers and everything that's going to make us happy. So that I can stand up and give God a testimony and praise and so on. We're all consumed with our halos, that they keep glowing. That I'm with God and close to him and so forth. You know? And you've got to go to church and be happy and exhort one another. Of course we have. Certainly we have. But God is more concerned about the fact how we walk with him in relationship. And the joy and the happiness and all that will come. But God knows that we can't survive on that. A person who walks by faith, it doesn't matter how they feel, what they're going through, what's happening, I stand firm in Christ today. And you learn that one if you're a preacher and teacher. You soon learn that one, because many times you stand behind a pulpit and you feel nothing. Absolutely nothing. And many times you come away and you think, praise God, that was faith in operation. And that was nothing to do with me. That's simply the gift in operation. Ministering to the church, to the people. But at present, you might not be happy, you might not feel well, you might not appear outwardly to look healed, or whatever it is, but it's coming, it's on the way. Are we've lost sound.
It's frozen, it's got to go out and come back in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. So, God isn't concerned at present as to how we feel. God knows we have emotions. He knows we can get upset. He knows what we go through, and he is there. He's the comforter. That's what the Holy Spirit is. But God is always trying to show us a higher principle. than what you're going through, what you feel, because this causes us to look away then from self and to look to the one who never changes, who has all the answers, who in time is going to bring us through. I know it's not always easy, and one of the hardest things, of course, is when you've got physical pain and you can be consumed and wrapped in that. But God, nevertheless, is ever working to, in these trials, to get us to look away so that we're looking to him. And that's always the ultimate. But you see, in this asking, the Holy Spirit is ever working as Jesus spoke in his priestly prayer in John 17 and verse 22. See, this is the ultimate of what he's working here. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. That is ultimately what is taking place in your life, every second and moment of the day. That is what the Holy Spirit has come, that you might experience this fellowship and oneness with Almighty God. It is about fellowship. Jesus' priestly prayer is all about relationship there. That's the last prayer. That's the last thing he's saying before he's now ready to go to the cross. So how important is this? That's the question. But are you a believer based on your own terms? It's never going to work. And this is why we see so much apostasy, so much just believers sort of just, you know, getting caught up with the excitement and entertainment of so much of what we see. But where are they after 4 or 5 years? That was one of the questions that was raised when they had evangelism for England way, way back, years and years ago. They did an estimate after 4 years, most that came out of that weren't walking with God. Why? Because it was on their own terms. And God will never have it. And that is why we have to preach the whole counsel of God's word. We have to adhere to the sovereignty of God. We can't change any of this. And you see, this is why many believers or professing believers no longer can walk. They say, you can't walk this. It's impossible. It's too hard. Even some nations have tried to embrace Christianity, tried to make it a nation for Christ. If you look in history, and given up in despair, they've said it's too hard. The disciples said, this walk is too hard. It's impossible. And they're actually right. If you look at this in the flesh and the emotions, it is impossible. But with Jesus, he said, it might be impossible with you, but with God, all things are possible. So what did he do? He averted them away from self to look to God. And you keep your eyes on him, and it is possible. And you will make it in. And that is ever what God is doing in whatever we go through day by day, whatever your experience has been through the week, it has been tailor-made to get your eyes away from the circumstances to look to him. So when our trials come, all you need to say, Father, I ask that I look to you in this. Now, if you ask God that, I don't believe he will deny that prayer, because you have asked the right thing. Father, I need and want to look to you with my whole heart as I'm going through this trial, as this is happening, because otherwise my emotions are going to get the upper hand and the enemy is going to use it. And then I'm under a further battle. See, a lot of our trials at times are worse than what they really could be, because we haven't asked to look to him in this trial. And so we're asking amiss, we're asking the wrong things. And so the emotions are there, and then the enemy gets in, he's using those emotions, and then we're going through a worse plight than what we originally could have gone through. It's the same principle that God was trying to teach Israel. One of the things that we seldom ever hear is that Israel could have got through the wilderness a lot quicker than she did. It should never have been 40 years. We serve a miracle working God. I only have to bow my head in shame, and I've done this. I said, Father, forgive me that it is taking so long in my life. It's because it's my will wrestling with your will. I know what the problem is. It's not rocket science. And you just cry out for mercy that he will work and doesn't give up on me. But I'm aware that what we are pressing in for, we should have been through this years ago. It's not God that's the problem. We are. Because we still want our will. We're still battling with the sovereignty of God. However, praise God, he's got a remnant. Thank God we're preserved. And he will do it. You see, God has always purposed that the wilderness must produce something at the end. It didn't do it fully for Israel, but it's going to do it for the end time church. The wilderness will produce those sons. And if it's going to take 40 years, and it looks as though it is, it's still going to produce those sons, because the wilderness is designed to do that. The wilderness is to bring you and I to the end of ourselves, where it is total surrender to God and God alone. And as he's doing that, you're going to learn what it is to ask in prayer, to ask by faith, because no longer are you asking with regard to yourself, your wants, your needs, your terms. You are going to find you are asking the perfect will of God. Your asking is in complete harmony and will with him. And you won't even doubt. As I said, when you ask God to grow closer to him, you don't go away doubting, battling that prayer. You know it has been answered. How do you know? Because it's quickened by your Heavenly Father. He showed you. And we're going to come into that place of that knowing when we pray for the sick, when we cast out demons and the greater works. You know. You know that what you're saying, what you're asking is the perfect will of God. You're in complete harmony and oneness with God. Why? Because there's no unbelief with God. It is the enemy that uses and works unbelief. You see? Isn't it wonderful what God's bringing us into? That's the rest of faith that Hebrews speaks about. You see? So are you a believer based on your own terms? Question mark there. Only you can answer that one. I can present it to you as God gives it to me, but you are the one who decides what you want to do.
Till it finds fulfillment in the eye. rushes onward ever growing till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus I'll find security. And Jesus is